You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. You still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money wasted. Plus, you can use the Smart Savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
My place in tech changes every day, but I don't fear the future because I'm with the leader, Pluralsight. Their online learning platform has the hands-on, expert-led courses I need to master new tech skills and create bigger impacts so I can learn quickly and stay ahead. With Pluralsight, I don't fear what's next. I embrace it. Tap in at Pluralsight.com and see for yourself.
And with us on the line now is BBC music journalist Mark Savage. How are you doing, Mark?
I'm very well, Hannah. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. Happy New Year.
And to you as well. Best wishes.
I'm not sure how long we have to go on saying that for.
There should be a statute of limitation, shouldn't there?
There
maybe
should.
After the 15th, you have to stop saying.
Yeah, okay, fair enough. With the 11th, we're okay. So it was interesting looking at the list of the best-selling singles of 2021. Ed Sheeran, The Bad Habits, the song I just played. Was that a surprise, do we think? I mean, he's doing all right, that Ed, isn't he?
He is. I mean, that song was at number one for 13 weeks in the UK over the summer last year. So I think it was pretty much almost locked into the top spot. And that's, you know, been Ed Sheeran's strength all the way through his career. Shape of You was the best-selling single the year that came out. And then I Don't Care, his duet with Justin Bieber, that was the best-selling single the year it came out. He has a knack for just finding those songs that nestle their way into your head and stick around forever, whether you like them or not, I think.
Yeah, very catchy.
Exactly. And, you know, it's hard to write a catchy song. You know, people forget that coming up with a big hook and writing something that is catchy but not irritating or doesn't wear you down after repeated listens is actually a really tricky thing to do. That's where Ed Sheeran has excelled in all of his career. He might not get all of the critical plaudits that some of his peers do, but the audience loves him, and his stadium tour this summer looks like it's going to be amazing. Big playing in the round for the first time in stadiums all across Europe.
Wow, brilliant. And it was a big year for Olivia Rodrigo. She's a new singer, though. Was she around last year?
Well, it was literally this time last year. She arrived out of nowhere. I mean, I think teens probably knew her because she'd been on Disney on the High School Musical series. But she released her song Driver's License on the 8th of January. And within a week, it was the best. In fact, within 2 days, it was the best selling song in the entire world, in every country. And that, again, is just a testament to incredible songwriting. It is a perfect piano ballad, a breakup ballad, allegedly about her co-star on that High School Musical series. And then she proved not to be a one-hit wonder and kept building on that throughout the year. She followed up with Deja Vu, a song that references Billy Joel, and then goes on to release a kind of pop-punk Blondie-type song called Good For You, which was the second biggest-selling single in the UK last year. And she's up for multiple Brits and Grammy Awards. So, yeah, it really was her year. She arrived in a big way in 2021.
Fantastic. She's got a great voice, hasn't she, as well? A bit slightly different.
She does, yeah. She doesn't quite use her high register in the same way that a lot of female singers do. And so it's almost more conversational, her style, which is very, very compelling, I think, to the TikTok generation that she speaks to. And also, it's a thing I've noticed with Billie Eilish as well. singers' voices have got quieter because you're wearing earbuds. And so it's almost like they're having, you know, whispering into your ear. And the Adeles are an endangered species. You know, those big Mariah Carey type singers who just belt the songs out, they're not selling in the way they used to.
No, interesting how things change like that. The Weeknd featured twice in the best-selling singles of 2021.
That's right, with Blinding Lights and with Save Your Tears. And he's just surprise released a new album on Friday called Dawn FM, which I listened to it on the day it came out and I really enjoyed it. And then I read the description of it, which kind of blew me away. The idea is it's a concept album where he is stuck in a tunnel and his radio is tuned to one station. He can't listen to anything else. And the songs on that station get him through that journey to the other end of the tunnel. And then when he emerges into the light at the other end of the tunnel, he realizes that it is the passage to his death. That he is having that afterlife experience of traveling through the tunnel into the next life. And that made me reassess it all and listen to it in a very different way indeed.
Yeah, wow. So is it a bit dark then, the album?
I mean, his music has always had that kind of tinge of darkness to it. You know, I don't know if you remember his last record, After Hours, which Blinding Lights and Save Your Tears comes from. He spent most of the promotional campaign for that covered up in bandages, increasingly, you know, with more and more blood and gore in the videos and in his live performances, which he said was kind of both a metaphor about the destructive effect of stardom, but also a message about safe driving. He apparently knows some people who have been badly hurt in road accidents and kind of wanted to convey that message.
Oh, wow.
He's got an interesting aesthetic for someone who is such a mainstream star. He definitely does things in a very alternative and dark way.
Mm, definitely. Interesting being the perfect word.
Enigmatic.
Yes, yes. Dua Lipa, I love a bit of Dua Lipa, and she's in the list as well, best-selling singles with Levitating. I really like that song.
That is such a good song. And actually, as well, we've just found out that that was the biggest-selling song in America last year. And also, I think, the second longest-running top 10 single of all time in the US. It was in the top 10 for 31 weeks last year. And that, I mean, that is a great song. And again, she's up for multiple Brit Awards this year as well. She's back in the studio, so hopefully 2022 we'll get to hear some new music from her as well. And she will finally get to tour the Future Nostalgia album, which I think I've been talking about with you guys for the last 2 years, because it is one of my favorite albums for the last last decade or so. But she's never got to play it live because of the pandemic. She released it in the second week of the lockdown, and so there's going to be quite, I think, a release of energy when she finally gets to see her fans and play this music that was designed for clubs in real life again.
Yeah, that'd be great. It's interesting looking at the top 10 list of the best-selling albums of 2021. A lot of the artists we've already mentioned, but there's artists in there like ABBA and Queen and Fleetwood Mac, which is great to see.
Yes, that's true. I mean, ABBA is incredible. They were the best-selling record on vinyl last year after announcing their surprise comeback with Voyage. And of course, we've got concerts from them to look forward to coming up later this year. This kind of virtual, not holograms, but avatars, a big performance is going to take place in East London later in the year. I can't wait to go to the opening night of that. But like you say, yeah, the best-selling albums list is just kind of almost clogged up with stuff from the 70s. You've got a greatest hits from Fleetwood Mac, a greatest hits from Elton John, and then Queen's greatest hits, which came out in the early 80s. And they just keep selling and streaming. And in fact, we discovered there was a report at the end of last week that said that now the music that people listen to on streaming services, 82% of it is old. Songs released in the last 18 months are in the minority. So people are just logging on and listening to the classics, which I guess is kind of right. I mean, I think my job is to listen to new music, but I would say it's still probably only about 30 to 40% of what I listen to. Because when I've gone back and I've digested all the new stuff and I find my new favourites, I will go off and I'll play a bit of Prince or a bit of Madonna in the background.
I do find it a very interesting topic of conversation, that the whole idea, how many artists of today will be classics and how many songs will be classics in 20, 30 years time.
Well, that's very true. And of course, you can never really know until you know, 10 or 15 years afterwards, because something that seems really fresh and modern can date very quickly. Do you remember how obsessed everybody was with MC Hammer in the 1990s? Yes. And if you listen to You Can't Touch This Now, it just sounds a bit clunky.
Yes.
And, you know, it'll be interesting to see which songs of Ed Sheeran survive. He always said to me when I interviewed him, he released Shape of You and Castle on the Hill on the same day. And he said, Shape of You will be a hit now, but Castle on the Hill will be the one that they play on the radio in 20 years. And I'm fascinated to see if that pans out the way he thinks it will.
Yeah, that's interesting. Yeah, it is interesting to hear what artists think about their own music like that, and whether they honestly think it will stand the test of time. That's really interesting.
Actually, a lot of artists find it very difficult to listen to their own music because they're so close to the process of making it that all they hear is the mistakes or the things they could have done better.
Yeah. Having ABBA back in the best-selling albums chart is an interesting. I wonder how long they'll stay in the chart for. There's been a lot of kind of mixed reviews with the new album.
Yeah, I think very soon it will be overtaken by the greatest hits compilation again. I don't think Voyage, it's a good album. There's some good songs on it, but I don't think it's going to sell in the same numbers as their greatest hits. Mm. And I think the streaming numbers already kind of show that to be the case.
And with Queen greatest hits, I know you say it's the album from the 80s. Has it been in the bestseller charts all this time, or has it kind of popped in and out?
It's popped in and out. It's not. So ABBA's Gold is the mm-hmm. album that has spent the longest time on the charts altogether, 1,000 weeks.
Wow.
And it was released about 10 years after the Queen one. Queen's has dropped in and out. It did very well last year because it was the 40th anniversary of it originally being released. They put it out again in a special edition, and they put it on cassette for the first time in quite a number of years. And so that helped it jump back into the charts. But actually, for all of these greatest hits albums, now that streaming is here and you can listen to these songs all the time, if you listen to Another One Bites the Dust or Bohemian Rhapsody, it counts towards the overall sales total for the greatest hits. And so pretty much until the chart rules change, they will stay there in the charts for eternity at this point, until we replace them with something else.
Okay. And Fleetwood Mac's 50 Years Don't Stop, that must have come out fairly recently then, the 50 Years album.
Yes, it has. And I think before that, Rumours was always their best-selling album.
Yeah.
But I suspect that really it's the tracks off Rumours that most people are listening to on that Greatest Hits compilation. Although I have a big soft spot for Tango in the Night, their 80s album, and songs like Everywhere.
So another article to talk about that you've written recently is about Pink Pantheress, who has won the BBC Sound of 2022.
Yes, so this is going right back to the absolute pinnacle of new music. This is somebody that most people haven't heard of. This BBC Sound Off poll has been running for 20 years, and the idea is to tip acts who will become mainstream kind of household names over the next 12 months. And previous winners include Adele and Sam Smith, Years and Years, Michael Kiwanuka, Celeste won it 2 years ago, and Pink Pantheress is the latest person who's been chosen. And the poll is voted for by music industry experts from around the world. So these are critics, but also DJs, the people who book festivals, and then musicians themselves. So Elton John and Ed Sheeran, Billie Eilish, they all voted for this year. And Pink Pantheress emerged pretty much as the runaway winner. And again, she only started releasing music this time last year. She was putting 12-second snippets of songs onto her TikTok account. And gauging by the audience reaction which ones she should finish and which ones she should just throw in the bin. And by the summer of last year, she had two songs in the top 40. Coldplay were covering one of them when they were playing live. And she released an album just towards the end of last year that crept into the lower reaches of the top 20. And I really do think she's going to be really big this year. She's got a really interesting sound where she takes the kind of drum and bass and garage beats from the early 2000s, but puts really, really hooky pop melodies over the top. And she's got a really interesting aesthetic, not least because nobody knows who she is. She only goes by this name, Pink Pantheress. She only revealed her face on social media for the first time about 2 months ago, and she still won't tell people what her real name is.
Interesting. I'm glad you said at the beginning that not a lot of people know who she was, because I thought, who am I supposed to know? I panicked a little bit. I made myself feel very old reading the article.
Well, I mean, that's the thing. And, you know, when Adele won the prize 10 years ago, nobody had heard of her either. And actually, if you go back and look at the article that we wrote back then, there's this brilliant video where she took us to her local pub in Notting Hill and kind of showed us around, you know, this is where I got drunk after I finished my exams, and this is the table where I broke up with my boyfriend and wrote my first album about him. And, you know, all the regulars are just waving at the camera, and it looks nothing like the Adele we know now. You know, she's all dressed down, her hair's tied up in a scrunchie. It's quite a fascinating thing to see. And it's really, I mean, it's an important thing, I think. You know, not many countries have an institution like the BBC that champions new music right at the very beginning, and these people are then propelled onto the world stage because of the opportunities they're given. So this poll really can make or break someone's career.
Yeah, fantastic. And amazing how people are getting huge success from launching their music on social media platforms. I mean, 10 years ago people were doing it on YouTube, and now TikTok seems to be the biggest platform for that.
Yeah, I mean, pretty much if we were to go back to that top 10 singles, the best-selling singles of the year that we were talking about a couple of minutes ago, pretty much all of them had a TikTok trend associated with them. Even if they weren't launched on the app, they gained popularity there. And then, unlike a lot of other social media platforms, TikTok does link in to people going out and buying records or streaming them, which is quite unusual, because usually people stay, you know, within the kind of walled garden of Facebook or Twitter. But TikTok encourages people to go out and hear the full song, possibly because you only get 30 to 40 second snippets off them when you first play them. Mm. And yeah, there's a girl called Lauren Spencer-Smith who has put a song up on TikTok in the last week that looks like it's going to go into the top three in the UK this Friday. Nobody had heard of her 7 days ago, or at least not in this country. I mean, they had in America because she was on American Idol, but this song has just caught fire and people are playing it in their millions.
Wow, interesting. And how amazing for this Pink Pantheress to get her song covered by Coldplay as well.
I know. And of course, they did it in a very Coldplay way. Like, her original is very clubby, and they did it as a very depressing ballad, to put it bluntly.
Yeah.
But when I spoke to her, she said she actually really liked it, because it spun the song off in a completely different direction. And she said she'd been a fan of Coldplay, so she was kind of blown away that they chose to do this. She didn't know that it was coming. So it was, when it was on the radio, she was kind of sitting there going, what?
Oh, that's lovely. Really sweet. So coming towards the Brit Awards 2022, and it was big news a month or so ago now when they were talking about it, there's going to be gender neutral awards this year.
Yes, and there were some people that said, you know, the fact that the Brit Awards are going gender neutral, does that mean that women will be put at a disadvantage? Will more men than women be nominated? And actually, what happened when the nominations came out last month was that there were more women nominated than in any time in the last two decades. And the kind of front runners are Adele, who's got 4 nominations, Ed Sheeran as well, and then the rappers Dave and Little Sims all have 4 piece. All of them are nominated for the best album category alongside Sam Fender. And, you know, it's a really interesting list of awards. You know, ABBA, who we mentioned, they got their first ever Brit Awards nomination since 1977. And that was at the very first ever Brit Awards, when they lost the Best International Album prize to Simon and Garfunkel's Bridge Over Troubled Water. It's quite a different music environment now to what it was then last time they were at the awards. It'd be interesting to see if they turn up.
Yes, absolutely. Well, when is the awards ceremony set to be? Hopefully the actual ceremony will be able to take place. Obviously, we've just had the Golden Globes, which is all online.
Yes, and the Grammys just postponed their ceremony, which was due to be on the 31st of January. The Brits are set for the 8th of February, and at the moment they're still going ahead. The plans are still underway, the stages are being built and the performances are being rehearsed, but we're going to wait and see. I think quite a few of those big award shows in February are still slightly hanging in the balance.
Oh, it'll be so nice to get back to normal again, won't it?
I know. I went to the Brit Awards last year when they were all socially distanced and everybody had to wear a mask and there weren't that many people there. And it was kind of nice, but also slightly surreal because there wasn't much of an atmosphere.
No.
So to go back to a full show, I think would be, I mean, incredible after all this time.
Yeah. And it makes great TV as well to be able to watch the shows. So if they're online, then you can't kind of get involved as much as a viewer.
Yeah, and what's really good about those award shows, let's be honest, is when things go wrong.
Yes.
Having that added variable of the audience there and lots of people crowded together in a building is what makes those moments happen. You know, whether it's Madonna falling backwards off the stage or Katy Perry when one of her dancers fell off the stage. I'm only focusing on people who fell off the stage.
I'll focus on another one then. The one with, it was Mick Fleetwood and Sam Fox, wasn't it?
Oh, that my was... goodness, yeah. Yes, that was
brilliant.
That
brutal.
Was cringeworthy. I mean, that wasn't so much things going wrong as the entire House of Cards falling apart in one go, wasn't it? That
yeah.
was. I remember watching that at home at the time and thinking, like, even as I was probably only 10 or 11 at the time and thinking, this is weird.
Yes, very much so. Well, hopefully the Brits will be back in force in February and we'll be able to watch it all on TV. It's been lovely chatting with you, Mark Savage from BBC Music Correspondent, and we look forward to doing it all again next month.
Speak to you soon, Hannah. Take care.
Thanks, Mark.
Think about the last time you had a cancel subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk, and maybe after all that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news. It doesn't have to be this way. Thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all your recurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something's coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting your time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. Or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of US Soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.